I'm Dave Miller. This is Think Out Loud. Lane County rolled out a new mental health program last week. It's a voluntary registry that allows people to alert police officers about their own mental health issues. The hope is that this will give first responders a better way to respond to mental health crises without making arrests. For more on this, I'm joined by Carla Ayers. She is the Behavioral Health Division Manager for Lane County. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, David.
How big a problem does Lane County have right now in terms of incarcerating people who actually really need mental health services?
Yes, that is a great question. So currently we have about 60% of our individuals that are in the Lane County Jail who have mental health issues. So that was a really big number that we received and knew that we had to act, that both the Sheriff's Department and Lane County Behavioral Health needed to do something to impact that system.
So where did this idea come from? Who said what we need is a new voluntary consent form?
That's a great question. So we actually, Yamhill County piloted this project, and we heard about it through them and heard of their great success and said, okay, great, this is something that we need to utilize and implement as well.
What great success did you hear? I mean, what did they tell you that made you say, let's replicate this?
Yes. So they have about 250 individuals enrolled, and they told us about a story of a woman, and we'll call her Mary, who was dancing in the streets, impeding traffic, blocking traffic, and the police had to arrest her quite a few times. They weren't able to engage with her successfully. Once this form was implemented, they were able then, when they showed up, to meet with Mary and try to, you know, get her to come out of the street and be able to talk to her. The form let them know who to call if they couldn't get Mary to respond, or what they could say to Mary that would allow the situation to be more effective.
And that information about who to call or what to say, that came from Mary herself?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. So it's much like when individuals have a Med Alert bracelet, right? So if you're a diabetic or if you're allergic to penicillin and a first responder shows up for you, you want them to have that information. You know, that's a life-threatening situation. This can be a very similar situation, and we want to try to engage with that as appropriately as we can.
What information does go on this two-page form?
So the information is pretty simple. The individual's name, their date of birth, there's a couple of witnesses that will go on the form. The individual that you would want them to call if you were to engage with law enforcement, with a phone number. And then there's also a box that the individual can fill out for themselves that says, this is how I would like you to engage with me. Or these are the things that trigger me that I don't want you to say to me because it will make me reactive. And so it's the actual individual saying, this is what I need from you, and it will allow law enforcement to engage more effectively.
What kinds of qualifying conditions, I think that's the phrase that's used on the form, are you actually thinking about? What kinds of issues might people have that in your mind would make them make this form appropriate for them?
Yep. So the individuals, it would be anybody who has a mental health diagnosis, a developmental diagnosis, or, and there's another really open range, I believe it's around additional behaviors that someone might be experiencing where this would make it an appropriate form for them to fill out.
So once this is, you know, once more people fill this out and this is being used more often in the streets of Eugene or other parts of Lane County, can you just describe how you think a police officer or a sheriff's deputy who you know, comes upon somebody, you know, to use your example, say dancing in the street, how mm-hmm. they would use and even be able to see the information that earlier had been inputted on a form?
Correct. So it's a very secure system. It's implemented in what's called the LEDS database, Law Enforcement Data System. So the information would be entered under the individual's name and birth date, and then the medical information is stored per se in the background. So when the officer was to pull up their name, this information would come forward. It's not information that you could access in any other way. It is HIPAA protected, and that would be the only time the information would show itself.
And what might it say? I mean, what specific directions do you think might a police officer get?
The directions they would get is who they could call that would be able to come and assist in the situation, whether it was a case manager that was working with the individual or a family member. They would be able to call them. They could come and escort the individual back home or back to where they're supposed to be if they're engaged in the residential system. But it would also inform law enforcement that this person has a disability and that if they have an autistic or if they're autism spectrum, then the law enforcement would know that they're not speaking to them because they can, it's because they can't, right? So just giving them that additional information that will educate them on how to engage with that individual, what things they could say or, you know, how they would want to respond.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking right now about a new approach that Lane County is taking to help people who are struggling with mental health issues. They can now fill out a voluntary form that provides information about their condition to local law enforcement. How are you going to get people who might have had what they perceived as really negative interactions with police officers, with law enforcement in the past? How are you going to get them to voluntarily offer information about themselves to the very people that they might be fearful of?
Absolutely, David. That's a great question. And so for us, it's about building relationships with the individuals that we serve. And, you know, what caused that negative reaction with law enforcement in the past? What was the situation? How do we build on that? How do we heal that relationship if that can actually happen? And how do we, I mean, even if we need to have law enforcement and the individual meet maybe ahead of time and have a conversation, but ultimately the decision is up to the individual. If this isn't something they're comfortable with, maybe this isn't the strategy we should use. I mean, we'll work with them and we'll see if at some point that might change for them. You know, and the fears may be that the law enforcement doesn't understand what their needs are. Maybe this would alleviate that fear. So we really want to focus on what the individual wants and what they need, and we'll follow their direction.
This has been available for about a week now. How many people in Lane County have already signed up?
Currently, we have about 18 individuals signed up.
Can you just give us a sense for the kinds of stories? Obviously, you needn't talk about personal details, but the kinds of stories that have stood out to you so far in the people who have signed up.
Well, I think that people are feeling relief by this. I think this is encouraging and that they know that they're not going to become incarcerated because of a symptom or because of their illness, that people will have the information they need to serve them in a more appropriate manner. We don't want people with a mental health issue going to jail. That's really what the focus is about. We want them to be in the community receiving the appropriate services that are going to help them heal and not continue to re-traumatize them.
You know, to go back to your example about Mary from Yamhill County, I think you said that the police had, you know, had a number of interactions with her before they saw her that one day, you know, dancing in the street and impeding traffic. So, I mean, is that the case in Lane County as well, that in a lot of cases, police actually already do have some familiarity with the very people that might be filling out these forms?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct, David. We do have a group of individual who law enforcement seems to have more contact with than do others. And so however we can support these individuals and not have them engaging as much with law enforcement would be the goal of the form.
Just briefly, what level of consent is required for somebody to actually put themselves on this registry? I mean, if somebody's dealing with a pretty severe mental illness, legally, do they have the capacity to volunteer information about themselves?
Absolutely, David. So we want to fill out this form when someone is stable. We do not want to utilize this form in a crisis situation. That's a really bad time to try to get somebody to engage with the form. We want to know when someone's stable to have the conversation about the release of information and have them sign up at that point. And then the individual has the right at any point to discontinue the form. The form stays on file with Lane County Behavioral Health, not with law enforcement, for 3 years, at which point they can discontinue it or they can determine to reengage with it after 3 years.
Carla Ayers, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, David.
That's Carla Ayers. She is a Behavioral Health Division Manager at Lane County. Coming up after a short break, we're going to talk with Aaron Wolf. He's a professor at Oregon State University. He has traveled the world to mediate conflicts over water. And even though he is trained as a scientist, he says he draws on faith traditions to help people transform those conflicts.